Welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Andriana N. Holavati, PhD, MSCI, about appendix cancer as part of our rare cancer series. Dr. Holavati is an assistant professor of medicine and cancer biology in the Division of Epidemiology at Vanderbilt University Medical Center and Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center in Nashville, Tennessee. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Holavati discussed symptoms associated with appendix cancer, challenges related to understanding the incidence and risk factors of this disease, and ongoing research regarding potential genetic links to this rare cancer.
Dr. Holavati, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We were talking before we started recording just about how rare appendix cancer is and how it's an understudied disease. So how did this become a research focus for you?
Yeah, so much of my research program is focused on the increasing burden of cancers among young adults, in particular colorectal cancer. And a couple of years ago, as I'd been starting my lab here at Vanderbilt, I came across a paper that showed that the incidence of appendix cancer was increasing in both the United States and Canada. And kind of caused me to raise an eyebrow and think, well, we know incidence of other cancers, colorectal, breast, et cetera, are rising, but what do we know about appendix cancer? And specifically, what do we know about appendix cancer in young adults? And when it comes to young adults, the answer I found was essentially nothing. And so that was my moment of, all right, let's jump down the rabbit hole and learn something. And my team conducted a few studies, particularly one that wanted to look at the burden of appendix cancers in young adults. And what we strikingly found there was that in contrast to the fact that about one in every 10 colorectal cancer patients is diagnosed before the age of 50, we found that one in every three appendix cancer patients is diagnosed before age 50. And noting this really disproportionate burden in younger patients really spurred a lot of the subsequent work that my lab has done and continues to do.
You just touched on it there, but incidence grew by about 232% from 1992 to 2016. Is there any research into why the incidence is up so greatly?
Not at this time. We have a project underway within the National Cancer Institute's cohort consortium called APEC, the Appendix Cancer Consortium, to try and understand some of the risk factors for appendix cancer. That becomes really challenging because even when you have a large cohort study in a region of the country or in one particular place, you often don't have enough appendix cancer cases due to the rarity of this cancer type to be able to draw meaningful conclusions. And that's where opportunities within resources such as that by the NCI affords the ability to pool data from multiple cohorts to be able to accumulate sufficient cases and start to look at things like risk factors or understanding the why behind this increase. So the answer is, unfortunately, we don't know quite yet.
You published findings last year suggesting a genetic component to the disease. Do investigators quite understand the cause of this disease yet?
Not quite yet. So as I mentioned, when we found that one in every three appendix cancer patients was diagnosed before age 50, the question really lent itself to ask, well, is there potentially a hereditary component to this disease? Since that's typically early onset disease or that diagnosed at younger ages, it's typically a hallmark of inherited cancer predisposition. And although anecdotally, it's been said that there was no genetic link to appendix cancer, there was no evidence that suggested one way or the other in a concrete capacity. And so that's where we undertook that study published in JAMA Oncology to begin to understand the genetic link to appendix cancer. That study really is the tip of an iceberg and potentially quite a big iceberg in that it's now spurred us opening a clinical study both at Vanderbilt and nationwide called the Genetics of Appendix Cancer Study, or GAP, where any individual diagnosed with appendix cancer in the United States is eligible to participate. and will help us learn more about this genetic predisposition and these genetic factors overall.
Like you just said, about one third of patients are younger than 50, but is there any other commonality? Is there a typical patient that you see with appendix cancer?
No, so appendix cancer, much like many other cancers, has a lot of different characteristics on a cellular level or what the cells look like under the microscope. So there's a lot of pathological differences that lend to different histologies. Again, with the rarity of this malignancy, it's really hard to study specifically what is the genetic predisposition in this one group of patients with, let's say, appendiceal adenocarcinoma versus goblet cell carcinoma. That's the trajectory we're hoping to move forward in with our clinical study that's now open at Vanderbilt and across the country for patients with appendix cancer. But right now, it's too soon to tell.
Typically, then, what is the prognosis for these patients? I know they tend to be diagnosed with advanced disease.
Yeah, it really depends, again, on the histology, whether patients present with a non-mucinous adenocarcinoma, a mucinous adenocarcinoma, goblet cell, signet ring cell. That, the stage of presentation, and a lot of other factors go into prognosis overall. But of course, our overall goal is to continue to improve prognosis, given that there are no appendix cancer specific therapies currently in existence.
Are there any symptoms associated with the disease that physicians can look for?
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say, especially in the primary care setting, is for physicians not to exclude a potential appendiceal cancer or colorectal cancer from differential diagnosis, given this increasing uptick we're seeing in the number of cases. Sometimes women present with a lower GI pain, or appendix cancer can be misdiagnosed as an ovarian cyst and whatnot. So I think it depends. Most patients prior to appendix cancer diagnosis present with acute appendicitis overall, and that prompts their appendix to be removed in some cases. And then appendix cancer can be incidentally found when the appendix cancer is removed. So right now, there are no clear or direct signs and symptoms that would concretely lead us to an appendix cancer diagnosis.
Is there anything to suggest that appendicitis and appendix cancer are related?
As far as suggesting whether appendicitis and appendix cancer are related, I don't want to directly speak to that as my program is completely focused on appendix cancer. I think there's always more that we can learn in terms of that capacity. We know, for example, that among patients who've had an appendectomy, increasing BMI or higher obesity is associated with an increased risk of appendix cancer, which could potentially suggest that there might be some sort of inflammatory response or immune response, but we don't yet know that.
You published findings back in 2020 showing that Black patients tend to have poorer outcomes than white and Hispanic patients. Do investigators understand the cause yet of those racial disparities?
So a couple things about that. One of the interesting points in that discovery was that we see comparable trends that we published in early onset colorectal cancer as we see with appendiceal cancer. You know, cancer disparities are a complex combination of different factors, both biological at the individual level, on a community level, and then on a systemic level. Although race and ethnicity was utilized in that study, that is indeed a social construct. And we're hopeful that in the future, we can do studies based on genetic ancestry within this patient population to better understand the role of the biology of health disparities, but also the potential role of some of these social, cultural, individual level factors that may be contributing to the poor outcomes that we see among individuals who identify as Black compared with whites or Hispanics, as published in that paper.
Small patient population, how do you tease out the differences on an individual or socioeconomic or societal level?
Yeah, with it being a rare cancer, teasing out those differences is difficult, but it's an undertaking that we've recently pursued with a study that we opened entitled The Genetics of Appendix Cancer, or GAP study. Our, a lot of our work is patient partnered, and in overcoming some of the challenges of studying a rare cancer, we felt, or I felt, that the best way to kind of tackle such a question is to partner with patients in the community to be able to overcome this. So GAP is actually not only enrolling individuals with an appendix cancer diagnosis at Vanderbilt, but anybody whose ages 18 or older who is diagnosed with appendix cancer in the United States is actually eligible to participate in the GAP study, which is actively open and recruiting patients right now. And by partnering with patients and kind of utilizing this crowdsourcing approach, we're hopeful that we'll be able to overcome some of these limitations and small patient sizes, that we're able to capture a diverse population that's representative of what we see the appendix cancer patient population look like based on population-based studies, and that we can really make a marked difference in this area.
Now, you have a bit of a unique perspective because in addition to appendix cancer, you also do colorectal cancer, which is very heavily studied, very well funded. When you're looking at the two different diseases, how different is the experience to study one versus the other?
That's a great point. I think both have their ebbs and flows in terms of challenges in ascertaining funding, sometimes interest level, although regardless of how rare a disease is, it should be studied and it warrants investigation for our patients. You know, one of the interesting findings that came out recently in the last couple of years is that appendix cancer is actually biologically different from colorectal cancer, prompting and warranting even more need and timeliness to have dedicated studies in appendiceal cancer. But of course, it can be challenging given the rarity of this disease, some of the challenges that we discussed, some of the funding priorities and attention drawn to different areas to capture that same level of interest, though, you know, I personally feel they garner the same level of importance.
So how do you attract that research funding and that level of interest for a disease that affects so few people?
So how do we attract interest? I think one of the greatest assets to the appendix cancer community is the Appendix Cancer Pseudomyxoma Peritonei, or ACPMP, Research Foundation. ACPMP not only garners its mission to support education and patients as they go through their appendix cancer journey, but they also place a priority on research and funding, affording opportunities for investigators, including myself, to be able to start a project that may otherwise not succeed without showing some preliminary data to be able to be competitive and successfully compete for larger funding. You know, fortunately, you know, the Department of Defense has a rare cancers research program and emphasizing the need to study some of these, you know, rare malignancies. And we continue to push forth before our mission to really impact patients and have clinical impact to improve quality of life, care, understanding prevention, detection, and outcomes for our patients.
Since there is new evidence suggesting that there is a genetic component to appendix cancer, does that mean that all patients should undergo some sort of genomic testing?
Yeah, so our recent discovery that one in every 10 patients with appendix cancer harbors a hereditary cancer predisposition is an important finding, both scientifically and clinically. We're actively working to do additional studies in this space and potentially identify new hereditary factors linked to appendix cancer. But in the present state, this impacts all appendix cancer patients right now because it could suggest that appendiceal cancer is a previously under-recognized indication for hereditary cancer genetic testing. What that means is that genetic testing of all appendix cancer patients, regardless of their age or family history, should be considered at the present time.
You mentioned earlier that there's no appendix cancer specific treatments available. So how can physicians improve outcomes for these patients?
Yeah, I don't think it's just left to the physician. I think it's left to the research community as a whole. I know that I have colleagues across the country who are working on laboratory-based studies or trying to identify novel markers for potential therapies that could be of benefit to appendix cancer patients. But I think this really supports the need for clinical trials, which can be challenging for rare cancers, to be able to understand what potential therapies, targeted therapies in particular, might be of benefit to this patient population, which, as you spoke to right now, has no appendix cancer specific therapies for it.
Dr. Holovaty, thank you again so much for taking the time out of your morning to speak with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at EnclaveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.